Dear love and heavenly Father,
thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Father, for life and health and strength, for our food, for our fellowship, our company. Lord, just for the friend that sticketh closer and abroad. Father, for the offer of your company, someone to talk to, for a great Saviour, for ministering angels. Lord, for a church home, for brothers and sisters across the world, I pray you please, Father, that you would provide their and our daily bread. And this evening, Father, that you would please be one of our number. Please look into our hearts, Lord, and cleanse us and refresh us, and prepare us, Lord, to meet the challenges of the week. And I pray more than that, Father, for those that would oppose us, and those, Lord, that, Father, that don't yet know you, that even now you would give us a victory over them in such a way as it would draw them closer to you or give them a chance to come to know you. And Lord, that you would save souls, that you would edify the saints. Please help us now, and please be one of our number, and bless our time here in your house. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's take our wee hymn books. Monica is going to play hymn number 2 in the wee black book, this blessed old book. Hymn number 2 in the wee black book, this blessed old book.
Thank you.
Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold a flying robe. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying robe. The length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse of growth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, into the house of him that swear falsely by my name, and shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that groweth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that groweth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance throughout all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah, and he says, This is wickedness. He cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted I up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And he lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whither do thee bear the ephah? He said unto me, To build it in a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Amen.
A reminder to make sure you have one of those wee red prayer lists.
and if anybody has anything that needs to be added to the prayer list, make sure you let me know. And make sure as you let me know that I write it down. Otherwise, you know what they say, if it wasn't written down, it never happened. But believe it or not, it's just under 10 weeks of Christmas. 2 months and 9 days, I think it is. So I'm going to get a little bit of practice in that. Number 72 in the Black Books. Number 72, God rest you, Mary Jane. I pray that God does. I'm gentle woman.
Thank you.
Right. If you'd like to take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of Hosea. Book of Hosea. Daniel Hosea. Daniel Hosea, Joel Amos. There we go. Hosea chapter 1. Going to be spent a little bit of time just on this, what seems like a very unfortunate life of Hosea the prophet, but we just want to think for a little bit this evening on actions versus words, or actions or what speak louder than words. Hosea chapter 1, there's only 11 verses in it. We'll read it all, and then we will have a wee bit. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, parting from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, Look, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, Call his name Lo-Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Amen. Verse number 2 is our text this evening. I want to speak on the subject of actions speaking louder than words. Well, if you would lead us in a wee word of prayer, after that we'll continue on.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Daniel Pastor, and for sending your only begotten Son. And we have the love, Son, to Daniel Pastor, and his Lord. We thank you for using your Spirit to convict us of our sins, Lord, and for saving our sins, Lord, through Jesus Christ. Pray for our land, Lord, give wisdom to our leaders of the government and office, and all of this, Lord. And you save them also, Lord, and send your peace, your message throughout this land, throughout this world as well, Lord. A message of love, but also of destruction, eternal destruction, if such an offer of salvation be rejected, Lord. Pray for that absent brother, Lord. Remember, call, Lord, give him protection, Lord, keep him safe and well, Lord. Good Charlotte, keep her safe and well, Lord. Good Frank, as he goes for graduation, deliver from trouble, and help him, and bless him as well, Lord. Pray for us to go to a new week, Lord. Guide us and protect us, Lord, and be, may we lead morally and our past be more in line with Thee and thy vision, Lord, and thy rule of law, Lord. Through us, our world, Lord, and see us so mightily, powerfully, through the blood of the Spirit, through the blood of the Lamb, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we can't speak nothing but only allow through you, Lord, that we can save people from their sins, Lord. Your focus comes to the gospel, Lord. Be one for number tonight, Lord, and guide us and divide the gospel, Lord. And give us a message as we start new week. We want to honor for you, Christ again,
amen. Amen. Thank you all. Amen. As we open the book of Hosea, It's not one that I hear spoken of very much, but it has a very interesting premise. At the very, very beginning, Hosea the prophet, basically, if we call him the high priest of the people of Israel, basically he was God's spokesman for the people. And there were a few conditions whenever you were the high priest. First of all, you had to be without reproach. Nobody could ever point a finger at you and say, we saw you drinking the other night, or we saw you with a bad woman, or we saw you under the influence of drugs. Nothing like that. In fact, it even goes so far to say in the books of the law that the high priest should only ever marry someone from his own tribe, and that person, not even a widow, definitely not a divorcee, but that should be a virgin from his own tribe. That was to be the standard to which the high priests were held. It was a very, very high standard. And of course, there would be a lot expected of the wife that he married, in other words, to bring up the next generation, because many times the high priest was the son, the next high priest was the son of the current high priest. A little bit like a royal lineage. And so here we have a very difficult time in the children of Israel's history. We just after reading it, God is basically saying, I'm going to be done with the kingdom of Israel. They'll not all be destroyed. I will bring the remnants of them all together. But I need to show all of the people in the land exactly the way they have been treating me. Now, this is a bit of a foreign concept today, because most folks, especially after the past 2 years of very intensive and fear-laden training, most folks can't see beyond the end of their own nose, because they were told time and time again on the internet, on the radio, on email and YouTube, every media, it's all about you. Don't come into contact with anybody else, they're dangerous. And I don't like to say I told you so, but I told you so. It's all coming out now that most of the stuff that they were feeding the public information-wise was a lie. And there are many media companies and cohorts with them. Anyway, the Lord said to Gomer, this is what I want you to do. And I can almost say, not Gomer, Hosea. He said to Hosea, this is what I want you to do. And does anyone remember the story of Eli and as he took on young Samuel? Do you remember that? Where Samuel's mother really wanted a child. And she prayed the Lord and promised the Lord that if he gave her a child, that she would give him back to him again. And the next thing you know, she's expecting. And she has a little baby boy and calls him Samuel. And after a few years he's weaned, he's able to look after himself and dress himself and one thing and another. She presents him to Eli at the temple and says, This is my vow to the God, to the Lord, that if he gave me a son, I would give him back to him. And little Samuel was raised up by the high priest Eli, who was not a great example of how to raise families. But one night, Samuel hadn't had any dealings with the Lord, and one night the Lord, little Samuel's in his bed, and he hears, Samuel, Samuel! And he gets up out of his bed and he runs to Eli, because he was being taught, you have to answer to your superiors. And he said, I'm here, Lord, what is it? And he said, I didn't call you. He goes back to his bed and he hears the Lord again and he runs in. He says, I'm here. He says, I didn't call you. But he goes on to tell Samuel, the next time you hear your name called tonight, for he twigged on that the Lord was starting to deal with him, just say, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. And that's exactly what little Samuel did. He said, speak, Lord, for thy servant here. And the Lord told him that he was going to start working with him. And he also told him about the end of Eli, and because his sons were spoiled and rotten and just did whatever they liked. And when Eli called him in the morning, little Samuel came in and said, the Lord did speak to me. It wasn't you after all. My apologies. And he said, what all did the Lord say? And Samuel told him everything, including what the Lord said about him and his boys. Anyway, I can imagine Hosea like this. When the Lord speaks to you, we really ought to sit up and take notice. I think maybe the Lord has been speaking so much to us, we just think of it nearly as background noise and ignore it like we do so much else in the world as a creature. The Lord says, Hosea, I want you to go and find a prostitute and I want you to marry her. And he goes, what? I want you to go and find an adulteress and marry her. A sexually promiscuous woman. I want you to go find her and marry her. I am sure there was a part of Hosea that said, the Lord, your law says, the Lord said, I need you to do this because Israel needs to see in your life the way that they have been treating me. And that's exactly what he does. He basically filthied himself in the sight of the people to teach the people what they wouldn't hear from the scriptures, that they were treating God like a faithful man that has an adulterous or promiscuous wife. And the word of God records that he goes and finds Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim. And she has three children, each one of their names corresponding to something that God was going to do, a judgment that God was going to bring upon the nation of Israel. And then, of course, as you read on through the next few chapters of Hosea, you read about the difficulties that that brings to him. She runs off after another man. And Hosea has to go and try and get her back again. And all of these things, of course, mirroring the national, the global events that were taking place with the nation of Israel and God Almighty as they wandered off all the other gods of the people of the lands in which they dwelt, and they committed spiritual adultery with them, even as God many, many times tried to bring them back to him, bring them back to safety, security, bring them back to their family. And I got to thinking about this a little bit. Now, I'm not saying go out and find a prostitute or a home wrecker and marry them and everything's going to work out well, because most times it won't. Unless someone has what they call a Damascus Road experience and their character changes completely, their eternal destination changes completely from being on the broad road that leads to hell to the straight and narrow road that leads to life, that is a disaster waiting to happen. What I am saying is that we need to listen to God. And when he calls, we need to answer. Just like little Samuel did. Just like Gomer does. Even if it seems to fly in the face of common everyday opinion and secular logic, because let's be honest, how well is that working out for us right now? How well is listening to secular reasoning and secular opinion working for people? You think about all those young men that listened and believed that the government loved them and wanted the best for them and took those vaccinations and ended up with a protein that compromised their bodies and ended up with them dead. I'm not anti-vax, don't get me wrong, but I am certainly anti-COVID vaccination. Any government that threatens and cajoles and things like that and says you will lose your job if you don't take a vaccination, you have to think, hold on a second, is this the same government that hates God? Is this the same government that promotes abortion? Is this the same government that would kill old people if they got half a chance? Is this the same government that says one law for everybody else and another law for us? Is it? Yes, is it? I'm not going to believe a single thing that they say. They don't love me. Jesus loves me. I tell you what, I'm going to listen to what Jesus says and do what he says. There's no mention of Hosea arguing. There's no mention of hesitation, although I'm sure there were natural human doubts, because anybody that spends any time in the Word of God, any Christian that has any life experience, knows full well the characters of the people that God has told Hosea to go and attach his life to. He knows that's going to be nothing but trouble and heartache. But this is a special case. This is a commandment from God. And what's the old saying? From your lips to my ears, O king. And off he went and executed the will of God in his life. And you can be sure, I don't know about the whys and the wherefores. I'm sure the courtship was a whole world of difference. Maybe the father was looking, hey, he's the high priest of the people. No problem with a house or money or food there. No problem with a small herd of goats for milk and chickens for eggs and this, that, and the other. He probably said, here, take her, get her out of the house. There's nothing but a heartache to me. And they get hitched, and they have children, and then the trouble starts. The effects that has on people, and the heartache, were to show that God indeed suffers heartache as well, whenever his people, and that's you and me, whenever we disobey him. The Word of God, I was going to say it pleads with us, but warns us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The God that we worship is not the God of Star Wars. It's not the Force. It's not some intangible presence that you can manipulate through willpower and meditation. The God that we worship is, what is it? Three persons. One God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, if you want the three other names. God Almighty, the Word of God, and the other Comforter, the Comforter. And God has lost the train of thought then. My goodness, my train of thought was away. What was I saying? That nobody else can follow me. Oh, goodness. Whenever God calls, we need to answer. We need to say, yes, Lord, speak for your servant here. And I don't know about you, but I've sat in many a church, and I've listened to many sermons. You get the pleasure of listening to my sermons. By all means, listen to other independent King James preaching, gospel-believing, Bible-believing Christians. By all means, listen to them and check all of the words that these preachers say against the Word of God. Guarding your thoughts so that you can know whether to believe them or not and listen to their future messages. It's good to hear a good message. It's good to hear something that piques your interest. It's good to hear something that steps on your toes. Or cuts a little bit. You know, it's not really good hearing about that the preacher's preaching about sin and happens to be your favourite sin, and you think, how could he possibly know that? The answer is, I don't. The answer is that God does, and he is speaking to you. But it's good. It might not feel good, but it is good for us to know that God is interested enough to throw a word or two your way personally, to let you know that he loves you. And that you might be heading down the wrong road, and that you maybe need to trim your sails and turn your rudder in a different direction. Does anybody feel good when they get chastened by a piece of scripture? No, nobody does. But we need to know that we need it. And we're only chastened because God knows, hey, there's potential in that person. And if he just gets a wee nudge in the right direction, he'll do so much better. So it's good to hear the scriptures. There's many a time I've sat in the pews, and the preacher's been preaching from the scriptures, and I said, that's where that verse comes from. Have you ever tried finding a verse on your phone, and you think, no, I know that verse is in there. And whenever you hear it, you realize that you were using the wrong word. And you think, and then you type in the right word, and you get it. It's good to hear those verses. It really, really is. It's good to hear about creation, because we need to be reminded about creation. The world didn't come about through millions of years of death and destruction, and that's not the way the world works. Billions of years. The world's here about just over 6,000 years, I would say, give or take. I don't know, but thereabouts, 6,000 years. God created everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh. We're the pinnacle of creation, and we are made living souls. And of all of God's creation, we're the favored, we're the loved, we're the only ones with living souls. I like to hear about that. I like to hear about prophecy too. The one that really puzzles me most of all in prophecy is in the book of Revelation, where it talks about a horde of locusts coming out of the bottomless pit. And it's only very recently I got to wonder, and I wonder, is that a swarm of drones? Never thought on that, but I got to thinking on that. Because there's been a lot of IT interest in swarm technologies and swarm programming, and having hundreds and maybe even thousands of these things working together. I don't know if you've ever seen the light shows that they program them to put on in some of these countries. And it's almost like fireworks, except computer controlled. I love to hear about stuff like that. I love to read about stuff like that. Whenever I read something, hey, I never thought about that. I find that interesting. And then you see maybe a few other pieces of the scriptures fall into place. It's good to hear about those things. It's good to hear what Jesus had to say to the people in the Sermon on the Mount, the promises that he made, the blessings that he passed on. But if you're having a difficult time, if you're grieving a loss of whatever sort, the Bible says, blessed, you'll be comforted. If you're desperate to learn more about God, he said you'll be filled. Were we not reading this morning about whenever the children of Israel cried unto God and sought him out with their hearts and their souls and their minds, that he would be found with them? This is the promise of God, and it hasn't changed. Old Testament, New Testament, and right today, it's still the promise of God. I love to hear that, but we need to be reminded. Because there's a lot of time the world can be very rough on a Christian, and it can leave a lot of chafing or scraped knees and elbows. And we need to be reminded that there is a God that loves us and is there with an outstretched hand, or maybe stick an arm under your armpit and set you back up on your feet. I like to hear about that, because believe it or not, the world's a bad place and it's not getting any better. I like to hear about that. I like to hear about the individuals that met with Jesus and left in different people. Because it's not all about the statistics. Not always. It does say that there are many on the road to destruction, and there's only a few that ever find the Lord. That, in one respect, it's about statistics, but generally speaking, most of the Bible is about you and me. The things that are written in it are unchangeable. They're not going to change, but the person reading it can. And can change from being a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner to a heaven-bound, undeserving sinner saved by God's good grace. I love to hear about those things. I love to hear how following God lets people see God working in their lives. I like to hear about that, because you know what? I like to see God working in my life. I like the times whenever I find the keys. I love the times when I got my company car. Whenever I bought my first house, my only house, and everybody else fell away or dropped out, and I got it in spite of what everybody else wanted to do, all the other builders. I love things like that. I love the time when I was sitting in a meeting talking about IT, and I had one of those epiphanies, I think they call it. And it was like, do you ever see in the movies where the camera zooms in and the background falls away out, and the person turns to the camera and said, you know, they talk to the camera. And the Lord said to me, is this really what you want to be doing for the rest of your life? And he gave me this little picture of all of us as little poodles hopping through hoops with the director tapping a stick at us and telling us what to do. And I said, do you know what, Lord? No, it's not really. But the thing is, Lord, the church can't pay very much. How am I going to live? Plenty of time for that. Plenty of time for that. Little did I know, just 5 years later, I would sell my house, I would get my redundancy, and I would get an inheritance from my mother when she passed away, all within a couple of months of each other. And I had enough money to set me up. So there you go. God's good. He's still working on people's lives. And I hope and pray that you can point to times in your life when God has tapped you on the shoulder and says, how's about doing this my way this time? And the smart answer is, okay, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It's good to hear about those things. But the Christian's called to do more than listen. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's not football. It's not 22 guys that could do with a rest, watched by 50,000 people that could do with getting off their rear ends and putting in 1,000 steps. That's not Christianity. Christianity is a participation sport. And that's why the title of it all is Actions Speak Louder Than Words. And that's why I've taken the example of Hosea, who stood out a mile under the public eye, doing what God wanted, to give an example, to preach a message. Your end is coming. If you don't straighten up and fly right, this is what will happen to you. That's Hosea's example. But pretty much, God wants to use us, not in the same way. He's not going to tell you to go off, start drinking now, and then I'll give the world the example of what happens when people drink. No. Neither is he saying take drugs or sleep around the country. I'm not saying that. Neither, he's not saying to wait at the street corners and beat the living daylights out of people and put a tract in their bloody fingertips. He's not saying that. He is saying, as you read my word, don't ever think you get out of God's service by not reading his word. You're doing yourself a disservice by not turning up for God's service. As you read, and as you read those verses of scripture, you need to remember two things. This is God speaking to you, personal. Nobody, there might be somebody else reading this piece of scripture at the same time in the world as somebody else, but God is using that piece of scripture to speak to you. And whatever God asks you to do, it's in your best interest and the interest of those around about you to do it. Whether it's to build your character, whether it's to show you a miracle, whether it's to use you to work in somebody else's life, a literal miracle. It's in our best interest to say, speak, Lord. For thy, not only does thy servant hear, but thy servant doeth as well. Wasn't there a little, the parable of the man that built his house upon the rock and the man that built his house upon the sand? You know, I spent the last 10 minutes trying to get those words out. Maybe we should use Jesus' words. He said it much more succinctly. He says, I'll give you this example. Anybody that hears my word and doesn't do it, he's like a man that built his house in the sand. And anybody with any experience will say, well, that's just stupid. And the Lord said, certainly it is, because the rain, any rain or flood that comes upon that house, it'll wash the foundation away and the walls will fall down. And he'll lose everything in the house and maybe even his life. But the man that hears my word and does it, he's like a man that builds a house on a solid rock. Now it doesn't matter the weather that beats upon it, it's going to stand because it's built upon a solid rock. And his life and his possessions and his loved ones and all his efforts, they will be preserved. And I don't know what God is going to call you to do tomorrow. Maybe I'll just say, well, you had a rough enough experience with the pastor yesterday. There was a lot of teaching, I would like to think anyway. A lot of very eloquent preaching that needs to be unpacked. His rapier wit and his sparkling personality and sense of humour. Sometimes they're a bit much for people and it might take you a day or two to figure out the message. But it's always in the best interest of God's people to do what God asks them to do. Many times in the Bible, Jesus said, Well, it's, I think it's in, is it in Matthew 11, Matthew 12? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Anybody know the next bit? And I will give you rest. Everybody loves that verse. This is the verse that we love. God then says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, I have a job for you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. And do you know what's killing people these days? It's upset souls. It's not upset stomachs. It's upset souls. Because the number of times the Lord said in the Word of God, as a warning to his own people, he said, I've blessed you, I've said you're going to comfort. But if you leave me, if you reject me as your God, I'll make an object example of you to the world. He says you can expand your crops and expand your flocks and your vineyards, and you can have much food, much bread, much meat and much wine, and you will never be satisfied with it. And there's a lot to be said to being content in your soul. It doesn't mean you have to be unambitious. You can be ambitious. But there's a lot to be said to be able to go to your bed at night and say, I did all that I could do. I enjoyed my food. And I'm looking forward to a night's sleep and getting up and doing it again tomorrow. God will give you that satisfaction. And that satisfaction is worth money. How many people that are fawned over, that are famous, have fortune, end up taking their own lives simply because their souls are bleeding out. They're shriveled and dead on the inside, and it's not too long before their physical body follows suit on the outside. I think it was you, Will, said something this morning about a character we were talking about. I don't know if it was a preacher, don't know if it was something else, but you said this, you will only ever be a second rate or a second class somebody else. But you can always be a first class you. You can always be the best that you can be, but you will only ever be a second best somebody else. I read that differently in an old Superman comic. And Superman goes to visit this young superhero who can turn into a laser. He can travel at the speed of light. He can do all sorts of stuff. And the young fella's talking to Superman, and he says to Superman, I always wanted to be like you, and I strive to be like you. And Superman said, you will only ever be a second-rate Superman, but you can be a first-rate living laser. That gives you a secular and a fantasy and a biblical background. Each person here has different talents. Sometimes Monica and I laugh at each other in a good way whenever we compare our completely different personalities and lifestyles to each other. The only thing we have in common is that we love the Lord and each other. And we got married together as well. We have that in common. I was at the same church in the same day that Monica was in the day that we were married. As some little child was asked about a coincidence, he says, my mummy and daddy were at the hospital on the same day that I was born. Well, my mummy was on the same day that I was born. Anyway, my mummy and daddy were at church on the same day they were married. Don't be afraid to do what God asks you to do. People are going to point their fingers anyway. You show any sort of integrity or standards these days, people are going to point their fingers at you. Don't be afraid to do what God asks you to do. It'll maybe give you knee-knocking moments and teeth-chattering moments, and maybe it'll be your heart will be running 13 to the dozen and 100 thoughts will be flitting through your mind. It'll be like being at sea in a little rowboat trying to keep the sail, the thing pointed in the right direction. But don't ever let that stop you doing what God wants you to do. I would say there are tens of thousands of houses in Londonderry that have leaflets through them, even though I was afraid to go out, because believe it or not, I used to be very, very shy, and I still would be a bit. But every single one of them, I just thought for a second and said, do you mean the devil's given me a hard time? The guy that's been ruining my life for like 20 years is giving me a hard time about putting a leaflet in the door. He's giving me a hard time about taking the megaphone out. I still get a wee tremble whenever I go to stand in the corner of the car park this afternoon. Lord, what am I going to talk about? He says, here's a Bible verse for you, and the Bible verse for today was Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that was the message that everybody got. The world changes, but Jesus is the same. Don't be afraid to do what God asked you to do. Somebody once said, the only thing to fear is fear, really. And it destroys lives. And as Christians, as saved souls that have the blessings and promises of God for you, waiting for you, when you turn up in faith to do what God asks you to do, you miss out on victories, on increasing your faith, on leading someone to the foot of the cross, on growing in Christ yourself, knowing that you just took another step forward. You miss out on that. And I don't know about you, but the way things are going in this world, I could be doing with more God in my life, not less God in my life. And there will come a day. As sure as we're all sitting here alive and well, there'll come a day whenever we're not. And I guarantee you the number of times that I have stood at what I thought was the brink of eternity, the only thing that kept my mind calm, the only thing that calmed me, was knowing that I was saved and that I had done God's will in this life. Not all the time, I haven't. But that when I had the good sense to do it, that I had done God's will. And my only wish whenever I was there was that I could get out and do a bit more of it whenever I'm well again. Don't be afraid. Sometimes it might be a thing that takes time. This thing with Gomer and Jose, that was a drawn out affair. He had to go and God said do this and he went and he did it, but it took days and weeks and maybe even months. When God said to Peter, come on out in the water to see me, it didn't take months, that took an instant. When God calls answer, I guarantee you it will complete a part of your of the puzzle of your life. And the things that people do in this life, trying to find the thrill of serving the King of Kings, be in the forefront of a spiritual battle for a man's soul, that satisfies an urge that people have. That completes part of us. And it's a joy to take part in. It's a duty to take part in. I'm sure if God was to tell you what it's like, he would say, see, when Mark goes out, or when any of my children go out, I can only speak about my own experience. When Mark goes out there, this is what I have to do. I have to organize a squad of angels to keep the idiots away, to stop them from pulling over in the car and punching them in the mouth. Because I am sure a lot of the things that I say annoy the life out of people, especially when you tell them they're all sinners on the road to hell. But there is a Savior that wants to put them on the road to heaven. I'm sure that annoys people, and people have gotten annoyed. Other people that I know have been accosted for preaching the gospel, had eggs thrown at them in this town, and I never have. God says, I have to organize that for Mark.
And then he stands there for 45 minutes or 35 minutes or whatever length of time, and he has no notes in front of him. He's no Bible open. I have to supply that Egypt with Bible verses for the next 45 minutes. But I said I would, so I'm going to. And that poor man fading away to nothing there has to do without his lunch for a whole hour longer than he normally would. I have to keep him going. What did Jesus say? I have meat to eat that you know not of. And then I put my hand on his shoulder whenever he's done, even though I've done all the work. All he had to do was turn up and switch the megaphone on and pat him on the shoulder and tell him he's a good boy. He'll like you with a wee dog. That's a good boy. He says, I do that for him as well, because you know what? He turned up. And every time he turns up, it makes it easier for him to turn up the next time. Every time he opens his mouth, it makes it easier for him to trust me to fill it the next time. Every time he turns up, it shows all of those people who do their shopping at 1 o'clock and the Crescent Lane that there is a God that loves them and wants to tell them the gospel. Don't know all that's going on around about you. We don't have to. All we have to do is turn up and do what God asks us to do. As the Lord said in Matthew 11, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. That's what it's all about. If I discharge my duty well on a Sunday, I'm on a blessing until at least Tuesday. And then I'm thinking about the message again on Wednesday. God is so good. And we miss out on so much by just saying, Lord, I'm tired, or I'll do it later, or 10 more minutes, or we look for a reason. Instead of looking for a reason to do what God asks us to do, we look for a reason to not do it. Don't do that. Don't do yourself a disservice. Don't be spent in the endless ages of eternity with God. The fact that you're even sitting in this church or listening to this recording right now means that someone loved you enough to prepare and to preach and to record and post it on the internet. And even in this church hall, people care enough to stick their hand in their pocket and then to put on their work boots and roll up their sleeves and get dirt under their fingernails so that we could have a nice place to praise and to worship God. Don't rob yourself of doing what God asks you to do. Look around and look what God can do with people that are prepared to say, speak, Lord, for not only will thy servant hear, he will also do. We'll stop there. I think I've labored that point enough, but thank you for your good time and attention, and God bless you. God bless you. Right. Closing hymn. I don't have one picked. I'm leaving that entirely up to you. It is a participation sport that we are taking part in today. If anybody has one, shout it out. First one to call it out, we will.
356.
356. 356 is?
I must tell Jesus.
That works for me. Let's stand as we sing. 356.
I'm
attention. God bless you. Safe travels and a good week until next week. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time around your work. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your presence. We have your inspiration, your words. And I pray, Lord, for understanding and wisdom for each one of us. I pray, Lord, for a touch for those who couldn't be here. I pray especially for Pat and Steve at this time for health issues there. For Charlotte, for Colin, for Lynn, Dr. Shine, and Frank. For Christine and Marianne, especially, Lord, after the flu and the vaccine jab. Lord, please just look out for it. For our brothers and sisters across the world, please, Lord, keep continuing to inspire and to fill their mouths with words and those that hear them with understanding and discernment. Bless us as we part company, Father. And bring us back safely at the next appointed time. We just love you and thank you. Amen. Folks, we are dismissed. God bless you.